Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Is everybody good?
Yes!
I think so. We have every need met in our lives according to his mighty, mighty riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad? Turn to your neighbor and say, sweetheart, every need is met. Every need is met. By faith. It's by faith. And we receive it. In Jesus' name. Well, I recently I've been involved with some different school situations. We have an amazing Christian school and just some different things. And looking at job descriptions, and you know, there's there's a lot of new labor laws. About every 6 months there's new labor laws. It's kind of crazy. But you can get in trouble as an organization. You can get in trouble if you hire somebody for one job, and that's their job description, and then you actually have them do something else. And praise God, we're all sweet around here. But, you know, that is something that our HR department has to look at it from time to time, because sometimes your roles can sort of morph, but when your roles change, then your job description has to change. Because, you know, God forbid, but if anyone were to be disgruntled and feel like they were let go because of, you know, being expected to do something they weren't hired to do, then that would be an issue. And so we make sure all of our ducks are in order, and we do everything decently in order at this church. We have a standard of excellence at this church. Have you realized that? And so we always want to make sure we're doing exactly as we're supposed to do within the laws of the land. You know, God honors the laws of the land. But anyway, looking at job descriptions, thinking about that, I noticed that Pastor Dan lately, he kept saying, this is the Holy Spirit's job description. This is the Holy Spirit's job description. And it was just, I don't know, it was just the season I was in. Maybe I was hearing it more than he was actually saying it. But it went off in me that the Holy Spirit has a job description that Jesus laid out very clearly, especially through John 14, 15, and 16. If you want to do yourself a favor, just have an absolute amazing time in your morning fellowship sometime, just set aside and read those three chapters all at one time, and you're going to be very blessed. Because he was preparing his disciples for what was to come. And what they could expect. And they were still in a bit of shock because they were like, wait a minute, you know, you're establishing the kingdom of David again, right? Where are you going? And they were dismayed. And so he began to talk to them about the Holy Spirit and to explain to them what he would be doing. And this is actually the job description that he wants to have in your life. And so I want to encourage you today to plan on hiring the Holy Spirit to be on your team if you haven't hired him yet. And in the one sense, he's free. In another sense, God paid everything to have him in your life. And so you need to take advantage of what he wants to do in your life. Are you with me today?
Yes.
I hope I don't get too cheesy with this. I was praying, I thought, oh, I could get real cheesy. I'm not, that's not my intention. But in a very practical way, I want you to see that he is standing there by your side with a whole list of stuff he wants to do in your life. But if you don't welcome him in, if you don't hire him, so to speak, he's not going to be doing those things in your life. And he will quietly wait. He's very patient.
Yes.
You know, he invented patience, right? So he's going to quietly wait patiently until you decide to let him in and let him do what he wants to do. And I'll just be honest with you, ladies, in my own life, I'm probably allowing him to do about a fraction of what he really wants to do. And I repent before God on that. But we just get going. We just get doing. And we forget how much he wants to help us. So let's look at those things. Let's look first at John 14, 8 through 11. And I just want to lay a little platform here, a little bit of a foundation here. This is again when Jesus began to talk to them, he began to talk to the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He calls him the Comforter, the Helper. And Philip said to Jesus, he said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." The platform I want to lay, the foundation I want to lay, is that when we see Jesus, we see the heart of the Father. And Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I'm going away. Because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to glorify me." So the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, they're all one. And everything we see Jesus do in the Word of God, that's the heart of God expressed to us. And that is the same nature of the Holy Spirit. So that's why it gives me such joy when I see different things that Jesus does and different ways he interacts with different groups of people. And I identify that because I know that, I identify with that because I know that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. And that is the heart of the Father expressed. So in looking at the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in your life, many times we need to also see, what did Jesus do? And whatever he did in the Word of God, that's what he wants to do in your life. Do you want the Holy Spirit to work more in your life? How many would be in agreement that you need more intervention, more help from the Holy Spirit? Well, in John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." See, he'd been helping them, and now he's saying, "I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to give you another helper." See, the disciples weren't really acquainted with the Holy Spirit. While Jesus walked with them, they had it pretty good. You know, for almost three and a half years at this point, their needs were met. They needed taxes. He said, "Go fishing." Yeah. There was a storm at sea. He came walking on the water and spoke to the storm. So their needs were met. And now he's talking about leaving, but he says, "You know, I've been helping you, but another helper is coming. Tantamount to me. Another helper. I've been helping you supernaturally, meeting every need. Another helper is coming, and his name is the Holy Spirit." Jesus, they're one, don't worry. Jesus is always the right answer. You know, if you work in children's church, you know that Jesus is always the right answer. But anyways, he's going to give us. He said he would give another helper. He said that he may abide with you forever. Forever. What about if you do something wrong? Forever. What if you took a break? I don't recommend it. And backslid for a portion of time. And now you've come back to the Lord, and the devil sits on your shoulder and says, "Oh, you were too bad. You lost too much time. Oh, it's, you know, everything's different now. You're never going to regain what you had in him." The devil's a liar. He said that he will abide with us forever. I know there's some religious groups, even associated with Christianity, that talk about that your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it is. But they emphasize it to the degree that if you ever put any substance in your body, you've defamed the temple, and therefore you've desecrated the temple, and therefore, you know, you've committed blasphemy, and you can no longer serve God. He has left you. That's a lie. That is a lie. If you're here today, you have not committed blasphemy. I'll just tell you that. Because the people that have can't repent. There's no more repentance left in them. You repented, right? You're here, right? You don't have to show your hands. Just look around like our dog Howell does when you're talking to him. He looks around like, "You're not really talking to me." Anyway, when I'm yelling at him for peeing in the house, he looks around like, "Who? Who did that? Wasn't me." Anyway, I'm sorry. I take these side turns. "But he will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." He was speaking to the disciples. He said, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He was speaking of a better day. He says, "I'm walking with you, and when I'm with you," it's pretty, I always have trouble with these, "it's pretty hunky-dory. But when I haven't been with you, it hasn't been so good." Yeah. There was a time they tried to cast out demons and they couldn't because Jesus wasn't there. But he said, I'm with you. But when another helper comes, when the comforter comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be in you and he will abide in you forever. Aren't you glad? He said, I'll not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Well, so in looking at this portion of scripture, I went to the Amplified Bible, and I love the Amplified Bible. My husband calls it the Amplified Bible. But anyway, I like it because it breaks down some of the words. And so I took that to sort of construct a job description for the Holy Spirit. These are some of the things he wants to do in your life today. Are you ready to learn? Are you ready to receive?
Yeah.
As we tell the kids in children's church, put your catchers on. You got to catch the word. In John 14, 16 through 18, let's look at this in the Amplified Bible. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. He is continually in us. He said, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. See, they were well associated with him. They knew his prayer patterns. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's off praying. You know, many times they were somewhere and he was wandering off at night to go and pray by himself, or he'd get up very early in the morning. They knew his pattern. When someone was being judged, they saw him extend mercy. And so they knew him, and he says, don't worry, I'm coming back to you. I've been physically with you and it's been good, but I'm coming back to you by my Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to abide with you continually. And see, this was bringing comfort to their heart, because one minute, you know, they're with Jesus, everything's good, they think he's going to restore the kingdom of Israel, get back at the Romans, it's all going to be marvelous, and now he's talking about leaving. But he said, a better day is coming. It's to your advantage that I'm going away, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who will abide with you forever. He was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and guess what? He hasn't left. I don't care what the 6 o'clock news says. He has not left.
That's right.
He has not left. So let's break this down a bit. Let's turn it into a job description and see what he can do and what he can be in our lives. How many want to hire the Holy Spirit today? I want him on my team. I want him my administrative assistant. I want him more than that. I want him the CEO, the CFO, everything that I need in my little world. Amen? So first of all, he calls him the helper, capital H, helper. He is going to help us. And really, these other words are a breakdown of what that means. But my husband and I, years and years ago, went to the island, a couple of the islands, it's been about six islands, in the Philippines. But this first time I went stands out the most in my mind, because we actually stayed with a family in their home. And they had a helper. In fact, they had a couple different helpers, one to do certain things, another to do other things. And the welfare system in the Philippines still today is, if you don't own a business or you aren't making enough money and you need a roof over your head, you will agree to come live with a family and for room and board, help them or meet their needs, either by cooking, their laundry, somebody's nannying their kids, whatever the needs are. And in Christian families, I don't know about everywhere, but in this particular family, they were very good to their helpers, and they were wonderful, and they were part of their church, and they were amazing. You know, so again, I can't speak to every situation, but it seemed like it was a pretty good thing in the situation that I was in. And we were going to go do puppets with kids and different things, and they would say, our helper will go with you. She will go with you. He will go with you. They had a couple different helpers, and if we needed something, they would go, and they would help us. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us. He is on your side, and you need his help. But another word in defining the helper, the comforter, is the word comforter. Jesus called him, in the King James, it calls him the comforter. In the Amplified, in the New King James, he's called the helper. But one of the definitions is that he is a comforter. And when you have been comforted by the Holy Spirit to the depths that no one else could ever comfort you, you know the Comforter. There's been times I've prayed with people, cried with people because they've lost a loved one or had a great disappointment in their life. And I know I can pray with them. I know that the anointing can come in. I know that I can pray in agreement that it can be good. But I know many times there's a part that only the Holy Spirit can give. And if you're there today, you get in there with him. You be like a bulldog with a piece of meat and don't let go until you receive the comfort that you need of the Holy Spirit. There was a time I needed him so deeply in my life. I was pregnant with twins and lost one of my twins before my other baby was born. It was probably the deepest place of my life. And I remember the deep, deep presence of the Holy Spirit coming in and comforting me, even in the midst of my unanswered questions, even in the midst of my great disappointment and what happened, where's the answer to that prayer? So I'm telling you, you can know him as Comforter. Amen? And the thing that's awesome about the Comforter is many times we're in the fix that we're in because we blew it, right? How many of you have always made wise choices? You liars. I tricked you. I was raising my hand. It's like, oh, some of you, like Barb, she's so obedient and sweet. She'll, you know, you told me to raise my hand, I'm going to raise my hand. But anyway, you know, sometimes we're in the pickle that we're in because we made some wrong choices. And hindsight is always 20/20. Oh, honey, we should have done this, we should have done that. And, you know, you can see so clearly. But at the time, you were blinded and made some wrong choices. Well, the thing I love about the Holy Spirit is when we need to be comforted, even when we're wrong, even when we did something horribly stupid that got us in this place, and we're very disappointed in ourselves. You don't have to raise your hand on this, Barb. You don't have to raise your hand. But you can be very disappointed in yourself. I think that's one of the challenges of aging. Sometimes you're just like, gosh, you still don't have this together? But anyway, but I think of in John 8, 1 through 11, and you don't have to turn there. I just want to highlight the story. When a woman was caught in the very act of adultery, I always think that's interesting. It's like, where was the guy? He was there. But anyway, she was caught in the very act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus. She made a very wrong choice. It was adultery. She wasn't married to this man. Yeah, he was guilty, but she was guilty. And so they had a right to stone her. She was wrong. She made a very wrong choice. And it's interesting, they knew where to find her, so maybe she'd made a lot of wrong choices in that area. She deserved judgment, honestly. And many times we're so hard on ourselves. We're just judging ourselves. You are so stupid. You're flagellating yourself, you know. And the Holy Spirit is not coming alongside you and getting in the middle of that and chastising you and telling you how wrong and how horrible you were. Right. In the midst of a woman being horribly wrong, Jesus bent down on the ground and he began to write on the ground. Personally, this is just my little opinion, don't quote me, it's my opinion. I think on the ground, I think he was writing some other sins. I think he was writing judgmentalism. I think he was writing lying. I think he was writing betrayal. He was writing some things on the ground that were maybe heart issues, that those Pharisees standing around holding their rocks were convicted as he wrote those things. This is just my take, because one by one they began to drop their rocks as he said, you know, if you're without sin, and here he is writing some sins, maybe that aren't overt, but maybe there's sins of the heart. I don't know, just my opinion. But they were convicted enough that they left her. He said, if you're without sin, you throw the first stone. And when she deserved chastisement, when she deserved judgment, because she was wrong, and how many, I mean, you know, we have been so wrong so many times. Like, God, I thought it was saved. How could I think this? How could I do this? I mean, you can just really be flat out disappointed with your behavior, your attitudes, or the way you've come off on a close relative that you just lost your patience with. And when you feel like you deserve judgment the most is when Jesus is going to reach out his hand to you. The Holy Spirit is going to reach out his hand to you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to comfort you. He's going to encourage you. Receive your forgiveness. Come on. We're going to do better next time. I'm going to help you. I'm the helper. I'm the comforter. And we need to receive from him. Do I hear an amen? Amen. He is our advocate. He's our advocate. Now, it's interesting. We're, you know, as you know, we have we have Brian's class and Brian's buddies here. We have a special needs program that we've had for many years. But we're really excited right now because we have a new intern that wants to pursue the area of special needs and actually already has a background and is really aware of a lot of the needs. And so he's coming to us with a lot of experience already and just seems like a really great guy. So we're really excited about that. Well, we also have this couple that has come forward that's developing a support team, a support group for parents of children with special needs. And especially, we have a lot of parents in this church that have children that have autism. And so they need a lot of support, a lot of encouragement. But anyways, she's a special needs advocate. And I got to watch her in action with helping an adult that we're involved with that is very borderline, but she does have some real needs in her life, some real developmental learning needs that have hindered her from really entering the professional world. But anyway, she was helping her fill out her forms. And the girl went home and she punched holes in them because she had a whole binder of stuff and she brought it back and she said, oh no, you can't even punch holes in the form. If you punch holes in the form, they won't take it. I said, you can't even punch holes. I'm a binder person. I punch holes all the time. And but things like that, she's an advocate. She knows what it takes to get those forms processed, what it takes to get those needs met, the availability to the different resources and the government programs that are available, and she knows the ins and outs. She knows what you have to turn in by when and who and all that. She's an advocate. So people that don't know what they need or how to get it, she comes alongside and she helps them. Don't you need an advocate? He is our great supernatural advocate, the Holy Spirit. He says that we can hold our peace. In Exodus 14, 14, he says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Oh, there's been so many times, don't you know, that you just felt like this is not fair? I'm in the middle of this situation. They're taking advantage of me. It is not fair. And you've done everything you can do legally, called every, you know, they put you on that phone tree that you keep going to this extension, that extension. You've tried every way but loose to make the situation right. But sometimes you've done all you can do. And then you need the advocate that's on your side, the Holy Spirit, to come along and fight for you. And he will do that. The Bible says he gives you favor with God and with man. And many times we just need the supernatural favor of God. There's been times I've walked into DMV or some, you know, place that there's lines and all this process. And you know, if you get the wrong person, they might not understand your story. Are you with me? And I've just paused and said, Holy Spirit, you give me favor. In the name of Jesus, favor with you, favor with man or woman. Help me to get in the right line. And what could have been a long, tedious journey many times, he just causes you to cruise right through. And if he doesn't, then he's developing patience in your life. But anyway, he is our advocate. He is our advocate. And he is also our intercessor. I love this. Romans 8:26 says that he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And so he is our advocate. He is our intercessor. I love Ezekiel 22:30. It says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. And I found no one. To intercede means to stand in the gap. We've been called to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and to stand in the gap to pray for others. That is a ministry of the Holy Spirit where he wants to intercede. He wants to actually pray through us and use us to pray for other people that are perhaps not praying for themselves. How many of you know the sinners in your world and in your family are not praying for themselves? That's why they're the way they are. And so we have to intercede. They're blinded. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, little g God, of this world has blinded, who do not believe. Thus the light of the glory of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Who in their right mind would go to hell? No one. But the devil blinds their eyes. That blinds their eyes. So we have to pray like the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, where he said, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him." Look at verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." So we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and we pray for those unsaved people in our world. And we stand in the gap for those that maybe are even Christians, but they're not praying for themselves, or they're in a place of confusion and they need someone on the outside to pray and intercede for them. And we take that place. We stand in the gap. Here is them. Here is God. We stand in the gap and we say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's why Jesus prayed that way. That's why Stephen prayed that way when he was being stoned. And praise God, he prayed that way, because had he not prayed that way, there was a man named Saul standing there holding everybody's jackets while they stoned him. And perhaps if Stephen had not prayed and asked God to forgive Saul for orchestrating him being stoned to death, we don't know if God could have forgiven him and caused him to go on to be the great Apostle Paul. Are you with me? And so we stand in the gap and we pray and we allow the Holy Spirit's ministry of intercession to go on in us and through us. And we pray that blind eyes be enlightened, that the lights come on, that they see the truth for what it is. They see the devil for who he is. And they receive the wisdom of God and the understanding of God in their lives. Amen? Amen. So he's our counselor. He wants to counsel you when you don't know what to do. The Bible says there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Yes, we have amazing men and women of God on staff at this church. And many of you, even your small group leaders, are just wonderful women of God that have been, they're tried and proven. They've lived the word of God. They have stories to tell. They have the wisdom of God to minister to you. But when you can't find that multitude of counsel, or when you receive the counsel of man or women that God has used and has ministered to your heart, but then sometimes the depth of the understanding that you need comes from a word from the great counselor, the Holy Spirit. I'm standing in faith for one of my children, and the situation he's in, the lifestyle he's in, grieves and vexes me so hard. I can't even think about it. I told Pastor Jess, I just keep my eye on those promises and I'm good. I've locked and loaded, you know, and I'm walking in love and I'm believing God. We're all in this battle, ladies. No one's immune. We stand up here by the grace of God and by the anointing and the power of God, because that's what he's called us to do. But don't kid yourself. We've got battles to fight. We're winning them in Jesus' name, just like you. But we're in this world. And he shoots his pot shots at all of us. The flaming arrows hit all of us. But in a time of deep presence with the Holy Spirit, deep time with the Holy Spirit, he spoke a word to my heart that counseled me, that helped me to have a little bit of that question, why, answered in my heart. You know that word why can be a torment? I preached one time why you can't ask why. It really is a bad room to go into. The Holy Spirit just doesn't bring you understanding. Just leave it alone. But he knew that was a question on my heart that was still causing me great pain. And he brought an understanding that was so deep to my heart that it just unlocked something. It just put me on a new level. It just put a new notch in my belt, and I was good. The counsel of the Holy Spirit. He's your counselor. Will you hire him to be your counselor today? You don't have to pay $80 an hour over here at the guidance counselor. You have precious pastors on staff. If you just need to know what the Word of God says, we'd be happy to show you, pray for you. But then there's a place that you come to with him where he's going to minister to your heart. Amen? Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Your ears will hear a word behind you or within you. He's the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, he can give you direction. Amen. He is your strengthener. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. He's the helper. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He will strengthen you. When you're tempted to say, oh God, I just can't do this, he will strengthen you. As Pastor Deborah has exhorted us for years, we don't know how much strength we really have, ladies. We wimp out way too early, way too soon. And he can strengthen us to do whatever God has called us to do. I know parents of children with special needs and things like that, and we can look on the outside and think, oh, how do they have strength for that? But they have a grace, they have a strength from the Holy Spirit to meet those needs. He will strengthen you. And then he is your standby. I love this. The definition for standby is a readiness for duty or immediate deployment. For example, buses are placed on standby for the trip to Washington. So he's on standby, which is interesting. He is on standby. And one of the things I wanted to do a little sidebar with is that the Holy Spirit won't do some things. He won't do some things. I found that he won't do it for you.
That's right. Very good.
That thing before you that's a big mountain that you don't think you can do and that you want to have a pity party and whine about, he will not do that for you. But he will strengthen you to do it. And many times he's just waiting there patiently.
So
he's your standby. He's just there. And I love Psalm 46:1. It says, he is a very present help in time of trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. He's right there ready, but you gotta hire him. His job description is to help you, and so he's standing there waiting patiently, but he's not gonna do it for you. And so we wanna whine, we wanna have a pity party. Oh, it's getting so hard. God, just do it. Let somebody else do it. But he's standing there waiting for you to take a step of faith forward, and then he's gonna come alongside. He's gonna strengthen you, he's gonna help you, he's gonna counsel you, he's gonna comfort you, he's going to meet your need. So he won't do things for you without your involvement, but he won't do things without you either. You know, it's God and sons, God and daughters. We'd like to just, either not do anything or just have him do it all. But he won't do it without us. He wants to use us. And I found that he won't do things against your will. And so we have to get more willing, ladies. It's interesting, there was someone that came to Jesus. Where do I have that? In Matthew 8:1-3, there was a person that came to Jesus. It was a leper. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. See, he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. We don't doubt God's ability. He's God. He created everything we see. We don't doubt his ability. But many times we doubt his willingness. I think he'd much rather us doubt his ability than his willingness, because that hits at his heart. He wants to help us. He wants to meet our need. But he won't do things against our will. And so many times we have to set our will to be obedient, to do what he's told us to do. And once we set our will to do it, he comes right alongside to help us, to strengthen us, to put us over, to cause us to be able to do it. Are you with me? You know, I was talking to a lady actually just on Saturday at the Good Works thing that we had, and she's dealing with a situation with her family that they're grieving, and she's just very frustrated because they don't seem to be pulling out of it, you know? And she said, she goes, oh, I know God's gonna help them. And she said something kind of like that, and I said, yes, but they've gotta ask. I said, grace is there, but we've gotta reach out to receive it. And I think sometimes this is just, again, I guess this is sidebar, this is Pastor Sue opinion, I don't know, I believe it's biblically based. But I think a lot of times we almost leave a wrong impression. Oh, you know, God's mercy, you know, God's just gonna do it. But God needs us to pray. He needs us to be willing. He needs us to press in and draw on His grace. His grace is available. All of heaven is available. But He tells us to draw near. James 4, 6 through 10. He says, Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. The first part of that says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So it's humility to draw near to God. You know, he's always there. He's standby. He's right there. But we have to draw near to him, and then he'll draw near to us. He puts it back on us. He's always willing. He is sitting on ready. He wants it, his will established in our life more than we want it to be established. But he tells us to draw near to him. And when we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Then listen to this. He's speaking to Christians here. This is in the book of James. He's not writing to sinners. But yet he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'll be honest, I can be so double-minded. Right. You know, confessions of a pastor, I'm not bragging that I'm sad. I can be so double-minded. I can be, praise the Lord, out of one side of my mouth, and the other side I can be, oh darn, why did you do that? Are you guys on the same planet with me? We can be so double-minded, and it's those little foxes, it's those little things, those little attitudes that get in our heart, and then, oh God, where are you? I don't feel your presence. But he says to cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, you double-minded. He says in verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And I've found when I don't sense his presence, when he seems like he's very far away, when I'm not seeing answered prayer like I know I should be, I call it on your face fellowship. I get on my face and I say, God, I don't think I've got horrible sin, any, you know, unrepented sin in my life, but my heart hasn't been, you haven't been my first love. My heart hasn't been totally with you. Forgive me, Father. Just repent. Get to digging. Not to condemn yourself, but say, God, forgive me for being double-minded. Forgive me for the attitudes I've had with my husband today after I was so anointed yesterday. I would say, it's my secret opinion why maybe there aren't more women called to the ministry, you know? You could be really anointed in 1 minute, and then you go home to dirty diapers, dirty dishes, dirty socks. It's, you know, you have to put on a different hat. You have to eat a little humble pie. But God is faithful. He's faithful. So we get on our face and we say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for adjusting my heart, for not having you first place. For Father, I want to draw near to you. I want to sense your presence. I want to see you working in my life. And when you draw near to him, he's been there on standby. He's been there just waiting for you to be willing. And there he comes in with all his presence and all his glory and all his nurturing. And he lifts you up and he strengthens you. You don't stay there. You don't get into condemnation and trying to pay for your own salvation or anything like that. But you let him cleanse your heart, and then he lifts you up, sets you straight, and sets you on a straight path. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, I love another portion of scripture in John 16, 13. Jesus said one of the descriptions, the job descriptions of the Holy Spirit is that he would guide us into all truth. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, he's called the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He's not even into exaggerations. That's amazing to me. When Jesus went fishing with the disciples and the fish was this big, he said it was this big. He didn't even say this big. You know, he never even exaggerated. Can you imagine? Never even one white lie, not even one wrong impression like we can do. He was all truth, all righteousness. It says he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, talking about the Holy Spirit. And he will tell you things to come. Another part of his job description. He's going to guide you into all truth. You need to be guided in truth. Many times we're walking through the gray and we're walking through confusion, but he can guide us as to what the right way should be, what the truth has to say. He will confirm the word in our heart, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit is your guide. He will guide you, and he will tell you things to come. Years ago, when we went to Italy, we had a guide that helped us get around Sicily and then up the Amalfi Coast. It was beautiful. And on into Rome. And while that guide was with us, we did really good because he knew all the places to go. He knew the right restaurants to eat. He said, oh, no, don't go there. It's kind of a tourist trap. Way too much. Let's go over here. You know, he knew the whole area. And so we had an amazing time. And then he said, well, you know, these last couple days, I'm not going to be able to be with you. And we're like, oh my gosh. And so he spent some time and taught us how to use the trains because we wanted to go to Florence and all this kind of stuff. But he was our guide. The Holy Spirit is your guide, and he wants to lead you and guide you into all truth. He says he'll tell you things to come. One of the gifts of the Spirit, a word of wisdom, his wisdom. He will show you things to come. Many times, you'll be prepared for something because you will already have a readiness in your heart. Years and years ago, when we lived in Tulsa, my husband had gone to Bible college and was working for a ministry there, and the death angel kind of flew over, and there were 30 employees that were let go, and one day they just wiped out a whole department because they found out that the ministry was really in trouble. And we had talked about some things the night before, and that day when I met him for lunch, he said, well, I just lost my job today. And we both sat there and laughed. We laughed because what God had shown us the night before, we were ready. It was like we already knew. We had inside information. And we said, we just laughed. I mean, it was like almost hysterical. And so isn't that better than crying when your husband loses a job? So the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. I love John 15:26. It says, when he, the helper, comes, who I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He will bear witness that something is of God. He will testify of Jesus. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, you can be led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons and daughters of God. Once you're born again of the Spirit of God, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, once you're walking in the Word, the next thing that is the work of the Holy Spirit that really he wants to do in your life is to teach you how to be led by His Spirit. And when something is of God, there's a witness on the inside. There's a yes, there's an amen. It's like he's confirming it on the inside of you that this is good, that you can move ahead in this thing. Again, you're spending time in prayer. You're talking to him about this. It doesn't just fall off, like ripe cherries off of a tree. But there will be a yes and a witness on the inside. And you heard this when you were first born again. How do you know you're born again? You don't know, you just know. Have you seen heaven? No. How do you know you're saved? I don't know, Pastor Sue, I just know. Right? How many just know down in your knower? Well, see, you knew that as a baby Christian, just receiving Jesus. You had that witness on the inside. He's there. The Holy Spirit is there to testify of Jesus, to say yes and amen. And many times if you're about to do something stupid, if we're sensitive to the Spirit, because we've been spending time in prayer, you'll get what one person called a check. You'll get a hesitancy. You'll get a, no, oh wait, no, no. Let me pray about that some more. You'll get, that's him on the inside saying, no, wrong. Don't buy that car, even though it looks really good. You're going to have that payment to live with for a really long time. Don't date that guy. He looks really good. You're going to be paying for that for a really long time. You know, he's in you to testify of Jesus, to bear witness. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Not that you don't need teachers in your life, but when you hear the Word of God preached, how many of you been experiencing that today? And every time we get together, when the Word of God is preached, there's a yes on the inside. You walk into some cult religions. I don't encourage that. But you wouldn't feel that way. It'd be like, ooh, I can't get out of here fast enough. Because the Spirit on the inside will be going, wrong, this is not good, this is not of me, this is not glorifying Jesus. And so he's on the inside to witness to his will and to lead you and guide you into all truth. John 14, 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And this is perhaps the most wonderful part of his job description. I said all that to say this today, because it's what we emphasize in this church. One of the greatest things that he does is he brings the Word of God to your remembrance. And right when you need it, you need the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit's job is to bring the Word of God to your remembrance. And that's why we emphasize around here. It's like, it seems like we've got one string and we just pluck it. But that's why we emphasize so much hiding the Word of God in your heart, getting the Word of God in your heart, because the Holy Spirit can only bring to your remembrance that which you've put in there. Are you with me? And nobody can do that for you but you. We share scripture with you to exhort you, to show you what the word says, to lift you up. I was talking with a lady recently. She goes, I'm so built up on Sunday, and then Monday I'm just a puddle again. And I said, well, baby girl, you know, that's what the church is to do. We're to edify you. We're to build you up. We're to strengthen you. But then, and that's what the church does. We're not lone soldiers. We've not been called to live isolated lives. But when you go back into your world where there might not be that much positive faith and encouragement going on, you've got to do that homework yourself. You've got to take time, spend time. I suggest the morning. I don't know. I don't want to get on with my day without hearing from God. So I always advocate that, whether you're a morning person or not, figure it out, make it work. Go to bed early the night before. Don't clean the house at 10 o'clock. I don't know. But get up, spend time with him, let him minister to your heart and strengthen you, and put the word of God in your heart. Hide it in your heart. That area that you need his word in, meditate on it, think on it, say it out loud when you feel like saying something else. And then as you get the word of God in your heart, in that time of temptation, in that time of trouble, in that time of confusion, the Holy Spirit will bring the word of God to your remembrance, and that will be your word spoken in due season to strengthen you and help you and give you the wisdom that you need. Amen?
Amen.
So he teaches you all things. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And that's what his word will do. It will deliver you from sin. There are so many benefits that the word of God will do in your life. It is God breathed, God spoken. The word within the very words themselves is released the power for you to live it. It's a magical book. I say that very respectfully. So I don't believe in dark magic and all that. But it is very supernatural. That's what I should say. When you get into the word, it's not just black and white words or red words that you're reading. As you get into the word and you give your mind to it, not only does it renew your mind, but your spirit feeds on the word of God. Like you feed on physical food. You could tell I've been eating physical food. You eat physical food. And so your body is nourished by that, but your spirit is nourished by the word of God. So even just two verses before you run out the door for that long commute to work or to go to your grandkids' house or whatever, spend time in his word and let him strengthen you and let his word set in your heart and give you the power that you need to live it. God is not unrighteous. He's not going to tell you to live anything that you can't do. And so he tells us what to do, and then he supplies the power we need to do it. Isn't he amazing? Isn't it wonderful? But we have to take the time to get into the word so that it gets into us. Recently, I heard someone say that there's over 40 benefits that the word will give you just in Psalm 119 alone. And I said, really, 40? I don't know. I just thought, I'm going to check that out. So I spent about a half hour last night. I made you guys some handouts. I will give them to you on the way out. There was 46 that I found just real quick within a half hour, and I just went down and went, oh, copy paste. There's over 46, just in Psalm 119, of the benefits of getting the word of God in you, his word in you, what it will do for you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So, we need to hire the Holy Spirit today. He's applying for the job. He is coming with an amazing description. He wants to be your helper. He wants to be your comforter. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to be your intercessor. He wants to be your counselor. He wants to be your strengthener, your standby. He wants to be your guide to lead you into all truth, your teacher. Oh, the teacher, the Holy Spirit. I didn't spend time on that. If you get into the Word of God, you don't understand it. You say, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Jesus called him the teacher. He will come and he will teach you what that says. And he does it by comparing scripture with scripture. And he just gets you on this rabbit trail of finding what the Word of God says in that area. He's the caller of the Word. He'll bring it to your remembrance. And he is the revealer of Jesus. He will make him real in your life. Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're three and yet they're one. Whatever we see Jesus do, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. We need to hire him. Amen? We need him on board. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't do it on our own, ladies. Do I hear an amen? Amen. We can't do it. That's the biggest thing I think I repent for. We can't do it on our own. We need him. And he's right there, standing by, ready to help us. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you for what you're doing in each person's life. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that's gone forth. Father, we all stand humble before your Word. And we say, teach us, Holy Spirit. You are amazing. And so we thank you for everything you're doing in this time in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.